Welcome to The Real Deal with Jen Costa, your podcast for all things spiritual, where I take you along on my journey through life and we talk about mediumship, all things woo, and everything in between. Let's get started. Welcome to Intuitive Kids, Then and Now. In this sub-series, I'll be chatting with experienced intuitives, mediums, and psychics about their childhood experiences with intuition and psychic abilities. Through these conversations, I aim to offer a sense of community and reassurance to you, the listeners, that you're not alone on this spiritual journey. I hope you enjoy. Today, my guest is Monica Chaffee. Monica is a psychic, medium, empath, tarot and oracle card reader, energy healer, yoga instructor, priestess in the Temple of Witchcraft, surfer, and a mom, among many other things. Welcome to the podcast, Monica.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast, Jen.
I'm so excited to talk to you today because Monica and I have known each other for actually quite a long time. I don't know how many years exactly, but we met in my first teacher's class, and I've been doing this for 7 years, so we go kind of way back. And it's funny because we've always kind of kept in touch. Mm-hmm. So I just find it interesting. And I thought Monica would be a great person to interview for this. So we're going to just dive right in. First of all, can you tell me what, because even though I do all this, I don't know everything. And there's things I dabble in and things I don't. But what is a priestess in the Temple of Witchcraft for the regular person who's like, what are you talking about?
Okay, so the Temple of Witchcraft is a tradition of witchcraft that's located up in Salem, New Hampshire. And the whole premise of this temple is just a safe space. It is like a religious sanctuary for Wiccans. And being a priestess is sort of like someone who contributes in some way, shape, or form to their community. Okay. And the way I do that is through offering holistic healing, readings, and yoga classes in my community where I am located in Wakefield, Mass. And And the craft itself is really just about, I think of it more as like moving energy or collaborating with the energies around us, whether that be from the land, the ocean, different objects like crystals, people, but sort of this kind of like this reciprocal conversation with these energies. And of course, with the craft and like the elements, the five elements: earth, air, water, fire, and spirit. And so, there's like the artistic part of the craft and also the scientific part of the craft and the more spiritual energies of the craft. So okay. We learn all this great stuff. Yeah. So I'm going into my third year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like more normal than I thought. Not that I thought it would sound weird, but like, I know nothing about that. And I think when people hear the words witchcraft, they, you know, we live in Massachusetts and Salem's around the corner and mm-hmm. who knows what people think about it. It's a loaded word, right? But that sounds like super grounded actually to me and normal.
Yeah. Each year is like a different theme. So like the first year is fire and so right now I'm an initiate in what they call the mystery school. So the first year is about your inner fire. And so you learn how to maintain like a disciplinary practice of meditation, journaling, divination. And you learn like the basics. For me, I knew all that stuff mostly, but it was just keeping it super disciplined. So like every morning, every night, I have like a routine, a ritual that I do. Second year was all about the earth, the grounding energy. So then we, grounding ourselves with the actual like circle casting, and you learn all these things about plants and herbs and crystals and all that stuff. Again, a lot of which I already knew, but you just go deeper and more disciplined. And then this year is water, and it's dealing with the underworld, the shamanism, ancestors, mediumship.
Super cool. I love
I'm so
See, I'm
excited
like,
for
I
it.
get to like pick everyone I know's brain on stuff, and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Okay, cool. Now that we understand that, and our listeners understand that, we're gonna jump right into this. So, can you share a little bit about your childhood and when you first became maybe aware of any intuitive abilities that you had?
Sure. So, I grew up in the northwest side of Houston in a place called Cypress, Texas. And when I grew up there, it was mostly just open fields, wasn't anything spectacular. One of my earliest memories, though, when we moved into this brand new house, a new build construction, right? My mother always said I was sort of like very clingy. Like right around 5 years old is when I started seeing and like it was one of my first memory of seeing apparition, like full apparition.
With your eyeballs, right?
So as a kid, I was just always really scared. Like I didn't know what it was. You kind of just always felt somebody watching you. There's the feeling of like another presence in the room, but like you couldn't see it. The times when I would see it would be like if I was looking in a mirror, or kind of like out of my periphery. You know, and then right around junior high, I was sort of labeled as like the weird kid. You know, like I was that kid who had like I kind of just thought everyone had this thing, this what you know, this gift, right? I didn't see it as a gift then, but I just kind of thought everyone could do that. And I was just now I know like I was just very sensitive to the world around me. And growing up in a Catholic Latina household, like, you know, talking to the dead wasn't really encouraged, we should say. So there's a lot of holy water going around. Okay. At the same time, though, what's interesting is that my grandmother did a lot of practices that we would classify today as folk magic. So like rubbing the Wevil, reading the Wevil, reading the egg, you know? And doing, are you familiar with that?
No, not at
With the egg?
all. Feel free to
So,
explain.
oh my God. Anytime anyone would get sick, okay, like any of us grandchildren would get sick, we would like lay down on the bed and then all the aunties and even like friends in the neighborhood would circle them. So basically casting a circle, right? Circle the person who is sick, and you'd pass around an egg, this, you know, from the fridge, just like you could get a market basket, normal egg. You hold the egg and you just put in like all of your good intention and healing energy into the egg. And you pass it woman to woman, and it's only women who were in the circle. You pass it around each person, and then my grandmother would take it and she would rub that egg all over your body, like all over, and saying something in Spanish. You know, say, I think it was Our Father, or maybe it was a Hail Mary. It's very much like Catholicism and folk magic combined in this type of and I didn't know it then, but today it's known as like curandera. It's just a healer, a Mexican healer. So rubbing the egg, and then when you're done with that, you take a glass of water, you crack the egg in the water, give it a couple of minutes, and then you read the egg. So if there's like, if the bubbles float this way, it's congestion. If you get some kind of circle formation, it's evil eye. If it's, you know, and so basically the energy that comes from the person gets transmuted into this egg, and then basically like, you know, put into this glass, you know, and that just stays, it's away from the body, and now it's locked into some other vessel. So
That's
that was my first
fascinating.
experience. Other things that were happening too, which was sort of like just seemed normal to me. I didn't even question it. It was just like all the like burning of herbs. Like there's different herbs around, different herbs used, a lot of like superstitious little things. You know, like Specifically remember like cactus was being used for something, but like my memory is a little bit foggy with all the little things, but the huevo was something that was like pretty much every time we'd go there, somebody would get sick and then the huevo was done. So
That's wild. That is so like the connection. It's like, yeah, we're gonna do this because you're. So did you ever have it done? Were you like, I'm seeing things, and they're like, we need to do this. Oh.
no.
Oh, wow.
So they were never like, my mother would try to like do the holy water because, so my father, he would never admit this, but he's a medium, okay?
Yeah.
So we have like this really strange energy link between us. And he and I would dream the same dreams.
Oh,
And
wow.
so it was really weird. It happened a few times where we would dream exactly the same dreams. And then we would start hearing the same thing. So like I said, I grew up in that town, Cypress. Like there shouldn't be anything. It's a brand new build. It's not like when you're in the East Coast and they have these really old homes that have that come with this ancestral lineage, and like the spirit of the house is so obvious. This
Yeah.
one, it was different. And it wasn't until years later that I kind of like did the research and figured it out. But I would just always sense that there was someone, one who was kind of Maleficent, one that was a little bit like a trickster, and then one who was keeping me safe. My father and I would hear like footsteps coming up and down the stairs. We would hear the knocking on the doors. If I was laying down in bed, I would feel somebody like sitting on the bed. We didn't have any indoor animals or anything. And so that was always a little bit creepy. I used to call it ghost in the scary room. At one point, I drew him, I would draw him. And like I just kind of tucked the pictures away. My mother found all these drawings when I was in college.
Oh, wow. So there was more than
Wow.
one. You had multiple drawings of this. Oh,
Yes.
wow. So wait, so if this is happening to you and your dad, what are you guys saying about it? Are you guys talking about it? Like,
A
is it just
little bit.
happened?
We're like, did you hear that? Did you hear that last night? Yeah. Okay. Me too.
I'm just like, yeah,
Shadow
okay, just
people. Like
checking.
I always see shadow people all the time.
And then, so what does your mom think of this? Are you guys like, we're just not telling her. We're not saying anything to mom. We'll just, this is
Oh, my
TMI.
mother's like, I don't hear anything. I don't hear anything. You know,
So she's like, it's not happening.
she just want anything to do with that. So she was trying to get this energy out. But like, if you got a spirit in your house, you guys, like, sage isn't gonna do shit. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, so.
It's just funny the interaction, like you're having these experiences and they're like, we'll acknowledge this part almost, but like this is what we do with this other part. They're different when it's somewhat actually not very different. Like there's all different, it's connected, right? It's just really interesting. So your mom really never was like into any of this. She's like, we're just not gonna go there. Do you think she's like an intuitive person, or was she just like hardcore, just shut down, don't want anything to do with anything? Especially if your grandmother's doing this, was it, did you say Webble? Is that what it's called?
Webble, a
Webble. Okay.
Webble. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, they believed in things. They believed in like spirit and energies and things like that. But again, my mom is kind of, she was very closed off. And so she couldn't tap into any kind of deep emotion within her.
Yes.
And also, she couldn't be still enough in her mind to even sense anything.
Okay, that totally makes sense.
You know what I mean? Like, in order to sense anything, you have to be very quiet. And I'm an only child. Like, so I had a lot of alone time, a lot of time to just kind of like be by myself. Around the same time, like middle school, this is like before puberty. Where I was really like sensing everything all the time. I started working with crystals around the same time. So I was like putting crystals on my body, sort of like in a healing energy, like an energy healing way. Although I didn't really know what that was, what it was or what I was doing. You know those natural stores that opened up in the mall, like in the 90s. Okay, so I was like addicted to these stores. So I'd go and get like all these crystals and put them on my body, and you know, going to Barnes and Noble when there was like a small section of New Age, and like go and like try to find books on astrology and things like that. I was just very interested in a young age and all this kind of like esoteric, you know, but people definitely not mainstream then. And also like as a, you know, young, when 10 years old, 11, 12, like there's no resources except for whatever books you can get. Like there was no YouTube or TikTok on this stuff. So like I just sort of had my own experiences, and then going into high school, I sort of just really embraced like my witchcraft and sort of like decided, made the conscious choice to like not practice Catholicism because I'd never identified with it, and then and to practice Wicca.
Okay. How did you make that choice? Like, was it just by like reading these books, or you just like, did you have a mentor or a teacher, or how did you end up gravitating that way?
I ended up like, I think it was just periods of meditation, and there was one very significant trip to New Orleans.
Uh-oh. I've heard a lot about New Orleans and energy, and I'm like, oh.
it's pretty
And
wild.
for what people like, for people who may not know, like I've heard, and this is, I haven't been there, but like there's a lot of energy there. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like,
Oh,
I
it's
don't know if I want to
crazy.
go there. So tell me about New Orleans and
New
this.
Orleans, the energy in New Orleans is like, so New Orleans is like, it's a very sticky place, energetically speaking, and like the atmosphere, it's humid as hell, so hot, and like it's just everything's sticky. And so you go there and people are moving really slowly because it's so hot, but then the energy and with like the music and the people, it's so fun. It's like, it's, you're just, everything's alive. It feels alive. So I'm not really that familiar with like historically speaking with about New Orleans, but
Same.
walking around, the last time I was there was 2018. And I was walking around and it was like, you could feel things following you. You could feel like, you're like, whoa. When I was a teenager going there, I was in high school, and we went there on like a trip with the school. So I was with a whole bunch of my friends, and we're like, let's go to, you know, whatever, Marie, the voodoo shop, you know, like the famous voodoo shop there. So I was like, okay, yes. And like I was like, okay, I'm gonna get a poppet, I'm gonna get, you know, I got like this spell book. Oh, tarot came in the picture around middle school too. So I already was reading tarot by the time I got to high school. So I was already like practicing my friends and doing like all this stuff. And so now I wanted to do tarot spells, like really wanted to get into it. I got all this stuff. I got like, you know, the dragon's blood and like all this, like all kinds of things like that. I really had no business dabbling in, but you know,
There was
we're
no
teen
one
years old.
guiding, so you're going to get into it. I get that. You're like,
Right.
I don't have any teachers, so I'm just going to
So
go with the
sitting,
flow and see what happens.
yes. And that's exactly what I did. And so I did a spell and it worked. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm doing this.
You're like, I'm in.
I'm in. I'm in.
Sign me up. Oh my God, that's awesome.
Still have
That
the
is
book.
wild.
Here it
And
is, it's right here.
what, your
There's the
spell?
book. The no, it is the
A
book
book,
I
you still have
bought.
it.
The book I bought in New Orleans, I think it was in 1993.
That's wild.
Hang
So
on.
you're just
Yeah.
going along in life, going on your own
Tarot
thing.
spells.
Oh wow, buying stuff at new age stores, just kind of like figuring out on your own. So no mentors, no teachers, no anyone being like,
No.
let me help
Yeah,
guide
no.
you.
No, anyone.
Wow.
So,
That was wild.
yeah. And so, like, with the mediumship, it was sort of like, it was very hodgepodge, you know, it was very like stuff, you know, I would sense something. There is no guidance, so I really wasn't knowing what I was doing. And that went on for a while. That went on for a while.
Like just trying to figure it out on your own.
Trying to figure it out on my own. Yeah, basically. Just trying to figure it out.
Did you find it when you were younger, elementary all the way up through high school, like that it was intense and, or could be intense? And like, what was that experience like? Or was it always like fun and playful? Or like, it's hard doing it with no guidance. Right. It can be, I think, scary at times. It can be very weird. It can be overwhelming, to
I think
feel
the
things that you can't
energy
see.
yeah, I think the energy of like the house spirits that were there got overwhelming at one point. I guess you could say I was pretty empathic. However, I don't know if I would have labeled myself as that then. And like to be honest, like there's a lot like this like going into this type of stuff was sort of my escape from dealing with trauma, you know? And like so I never saw it as overwhelming because it was almost like it was what I needed for survival.
I gotcha. Yep. So it almost was, that was the escape.
I guess like I think the overwhelming part was like not having anyone there to help in like identify. You know, like there was nobody who could like there was no one like me that I had found. There were no witchy shops, there was no psychic, like I mean, at least in Texas, like if you came out as a witch, I mean, it would be bad news.
Oh, really?
Then,
Back then?
now, back then, definitely no. If you're in New Orleans, that's fine. But in Houston, there's like, you know, it's a lot of God. There's a lot of God,
Yes.
you know?
Okay. Yep, that makes total sense.
I also I had to kind of like navigate that whole thing of like being in like a Catholic high school and yet not believing, not really identifying and participating with that part of my life,
Yeah.
right?
Yep,
That was
totally makes
different.
sense.
Yeah.
And I have to laugh because I'm looking at my questions that I had just in case, and I'm like, she's literally answering them. You're literally answering the questions I already have written. So I'm glad you're doing a good job. So now I know you have kids, and now you have been, how long have you've been doing mediumship and all this stuff since you were a little kid, but you've been able to train with people or have teachers, have mentors, and many experiences. So now that you have kids, what's that like? Do you see them as intuitive? Like,
My son is very intuitive. My son's like he's also sees spirit. And so
visually
that
with his
was
eyes,
no,
or like in
mostly
his
with
mind, and he knows.
yeah.
I like to differentiate for people only because some people use it loosely, and then some people are like, wait, you see that with your eyeballs? It's like, yeah, my eyeballs, like not in my mind, like a couple
Yeah.
times, but then I was like, that's good. I'm good. No more. Thanks.
I mean, if I have like a bowl of water and or I have like a obsidian mirror, or if there's an actual mirror, they will come through that way for me. But if there's no mirror in front of me, like I just feel them and sense them in the screen of my mind. My son feels things like very intensely. It's crazy. He's just like me. I mean, we're exactly the same, which is awesome because I know I'm able to provide for him what I never had as a kid.
Yes.
But also we butt heads a lot. You know.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. I mean, they're here to teach us, right? But that's amazing though, because I have a similar thing with my daughter. I didn't have any of this. It didn't come on till I was so shut off to the world until later in life. So like 7 years ago when I started this whole journey and probably met you then. That experience to now has helped me help her, because she is super, she feels everything. She reads people like I don't know what, like even teachers. Like, so do you, like she'll say, I'm not a fan of this teacher. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, I just, And then I go meet them and I go, I know exactly what you mean. Like, with the words don't even have to be said. So does he must experience things in school. There's a lot of energy there, a lot of people, a lot of craziness, teachers.
Absolutely. Yeah, we actually had an instance with this teacher this year, and when I met her, I was like, this is gonna be a problem. I was
Oh, you
like,
just knew it would be a problem for him.
oh, I just knew right away. I was like, this is gonna be a
Personality
problem.
wise, yeah.
Personality wise, yeah. And he's just not, and it is for the exact reasons why I thought. He comes home a lot, and he'll ask me to clear him. So, like, we've gone into a daily ritual of like clearing your energy.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what I learned in Witchcraft One, where you're sensing your energy, doing body scans, figuring out where in the body you're feeling it, and also how to like move it through the push and the pull. You know, like, are you able to push it up or push it down? Are you pulling it up? Are you pulling it down? And also with your body, like, if you're sensing something coming forward, like, can you feel that energy push against you? Like, can you know, because it's one thing to see it with your eyes, but then to feel something coming, you know, that's different. And for me, like, I'm in recovery, so which means I'm in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so I attend regular meetings. And sometimes, I mean, there's a lot of sick people in the meetings. And sometimes, like, I'll literally have to take a block and push it forward so that I don't get anything stuck to me. But that took a long time for me to figure out how to do that, and like training my body and training myself on like how to feel that and what it feels like, because a lot of that is discerning, like, what's mine? Am I feeling this? It was just, I'm just having an off day, and like, what's mine and what's actually somebody else's? Then that takes a while to get. And I feel like my son's able to do that really well.
Which is amazing. He has you as a teacher, because if you weren't ever into this, he would have no idea, most likely. And be dealing with things, who knows how that would look for him, like how that would come out and how you would deal with that stress, that tension, that energy that you don't like. Because it's a lot, you feel a lot. I think it's just fascinating. I
Yeah,
love it.
middle school is no joke, and they
No.
go through a lot there. My daughter, on the other hand, I can't figure it out. I don't know. She
You don't know
might
what
have
she's doing.
something later on. I have no idea. Sometimes she'll say stuff, and I'm like, what?
Is
I
she
think
younger?
she, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But he's been seeing spirits since he was probably like 18 months old. I knew, like,
Oh,
he
really?
knew. Oh, yeah.
How did
I
you know
knew
that?
right away.
Fascinating.
What?
How did you know, for like people who may have no idea, how did you know that he was seeing it then? Like 18 months, are they talking? That's a little bit. They're jib jabbing, but
Looking, you know how like animals will look and follow
yes.
energy around? So, and I don't know, do you ever see like different flashes of light? If you're just kind
Oh
of
yeah.
like daydreaming out into space, you know, you're like,
Yeah,
you can
small
see
ones
the,
out of the corner of your
yeah.
eye.
Well, it's like almost where you're like, okay, let's just go between the veil, right? Like, in witchcraft, we identify as like a walker between worlds. So, like, we have one foot in this world, one foot in the other world. And I feel like for mediumship, that's what we do. Like, we walk between worlds. And so a lot of times I'll go into that space without even, like, usually it's like when I'm just relaxed, I'm just sort of like daydreaming. So when my kids are in that, like that, they'll look around and I'll see, like, okay, what are you seeing? And then I'll sort of tap in, almost like trying to jump on a link. and I'll be able to see what they're seeing. And so I saw at first I saw what looked like little animals coming around. It could have been fae energy, which are very like playful and like to they like to stir the pot and like kind of
Almost fairy-like, right?
yeah yeah the fae, yeah, fairy.
Just for people who aren't familiar.
Sorry, yeah.
No, I'm just like, I like to try and like, hey, this is what they're talking about. It's all good.
Because that's what it felt like. It looked like little Tinkerbell lights. That's what it looks like to me sometimes. You know, so
Yeah, I
that's
see
what I
like
was
little
seeing.
flashes. Almost like
Yeah.
when you're
And they
about to
were.
pass out, the little dots. Except I'm not about to pass out.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. And then I heard him talking to people. And then I heard him really scared one day. Really, really scared. And I went into his room and I was like, what the is this? And realized like there's something not good there. So I had to do like a whole clearing of the house. So and he has a lot of sleep issues because things will wake him up in the middle of the night. So it's like this happened a lot when I was a kid. It was I would get tickled in the middle of the night.
Interesting.
Like it would feel like someone was tickling me, and I hate being tickled. So it would just feel and I would wake up in the middle of a dead sleep, like, stop tickling me. And he was doing that. It was
And there's
like
no one there in the room. You wake up,
no
and
one
there's
there.
no one there.
No one there. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
That's.
whenever that happens, I know that there's an energy in my house that doesn't belong here. I mean, now I have wards and all kinds of stuff up that like protect the family, but back then I didn't know. And especially
Now,
doing this type of work where I'm working in a psychic shop, you know, at the time. So like here I am doing the work, but also bringing, you know, maybe coming home, maybe my spiritual hygiene wasn't that great. I really didn't, I hate to admit this, it's so embarrassing in some way, but I really didn't know what I was doing when I first started reading professionally. Like I kind of faked it till I made it. You know what I mean? Like I was just like, she was like, you want to do readings? I walked into this psychic shop in a freaking state of like we call it the psychic emergency. When someone whips in the door and is like, you have any sage? What's the psychic emergency, lady? You know what I mean? Like, what's happening? And I walked into the shop freaking out because all these things that happened in my childhood sort of turned on again all of a sudden. They went dormant for a period of time. I forgot to say that. They went dormant when I was like active addiction. And then in like 20, when do you say 2012 is when they started picking back up again. And it happened so quickly and so intensely. It was like, that was so overwhelming because I would be like, so a guy would be changing my tire. And all of a sudden I was picking up on all the psychic information. I would know like that he had a newborn baby. It was named Margaret. It would be like, I would just, and like, it's just having these conversations. Like, what the fuck is going on? I would be seeing spirit everywhere. They'd be waking me up in the middle of the night. All these things that were happening to me from my youth were happening again, but it felt 10 times stronger. And so I went into the shop kind of like, what do I do? What do I do? And she was like, okay, take a deep breath. And when I went into the shop, I just was like, oh, I'm gonna be reading tarot here. I didn't ask her about it, but I just sort of knew this was gonna be my home. I started taking psychic classes, developmental classes there, and a lot of meditation work and all that stuff. And so, yeah, getting it back into it. I forgot where I was going. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I want to guide you right back though to your son and when he was little, because I'm curious.
Yes.
When he's in the house, and because I think is a question people might have or like wonder about or may experience themselves, why do you think like he was feeling these weird energies and all this energy. Do you think they're just like little light bulbs out there attracting like everything because they know nothing? They're kids. They're just like, I'm a little ball of light and I'm awesome. Like, you know? And then, like, so why do you think he was having those experiences? Do you think it's just because kids are so open and haven't shut down, or some of them, like to a point where they're just open to anything and they can feel subtleties that sometimes us as adults tend to be like, I have to go live work life. I don't feel anything.
Yes, I think that is true on many levels that kids are very open. There's no judgment and prejudice when they're so little, and they're very, very open. As the child starts to get older, and acclimated into school and be conditioned to conform, like right around the ages of 9, 8 and 9, that's when things start to turn off a little bit, or like the volume goes down. But it's to my awareness that it's from my experience, like most kids are pretty open. And I mean even like telepathically too, because my son and I had a telepathic communication for a long time and it prevented him from speaking. Like my friends would be like, stop talking to him telepathically. He's not going to speak.
So you
I'm
would
like,
just
okay.
like, so you guys would have conversations silently in your minds to each other, is what
Yeah,
you mean.
we still do
And so
that.
he
We still.
just was like, why do I have to talk? I am talking in my mind. Like, I don't need to
Yeah.
verbalize.
I have to really watch my thoughts if I'm in the car with him because
Oh,
he'll
wow.
know exactly what I'm thinking.
Now, is it still like that?
It's still like that. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, that could be trouble.
So there's two forms of thought that the child is this beam of light, they're born, okay, but also consider the lineage of the family, right? So if you're a born medium, right, and you have a child who has this gift, like they're going to be a natural at it, whether they want it or not. And most of the time, they're not going to want it. I guess from my own experience, I didn't want it when I was little, but I had it, and so I sort of have to like come to an acceptance. And I would also say, as parents, like now, I mean, for me, what I wish my mother did for me, and what I'm doing for Ben, my son, is just believing what he says. Just believe what your child is telling you. If they're telling you an experience that they're having, even if you have no clue what they're talking about, just like sit and listen, tell me more. What else can you say about this? How did that make you feel? Is there anything that you wish could have gone differently? Like, how would you have changed it if you could have? Because sometimes like, or say they see an image, like they see an image of an animal. What does that animal mean for you? Did you feel safe with that animal? Or how did it make you feel scared? Like if you could have had one thing to protect you, what do you think you could have done? Like could it have been like a symbol or maybe a shield? I will say that teaching children how to like do more advanced psychic defense is challenging. They can't get it. He's not getting it. Let's just put it that way. I'm like,
So do you mean like setting up boundaries or like, hey, okay.
yeah, like energetic boundaries. Yeah.
It is, it's hard. I think it's hard as adults. I've seen adults say, yeah, I want to shut this down. And then you're like, no, you don't. I can see 20% of you is like a little wide open here. So, you know, what comes with that is more energy. So, yeah, that's interesting. So it is, it's difficult. And he has you as a teacher, his mom, who can be like, I can guide you, but only if you actually truly are in this 100%. But they're also young developmentally. So it's, they can only do so much.
Yeah. So there's a lot of nights where I'm saging him, saging the area, like his room, and putting protective elements around the house. So for instance, I use symbols and sigils to help protect the home from energies that are unwanted. I use different crystals and place them in different corners of the home for protection. He will carry around different symbols for him. I could put a symbol in his backpack. He has crystals. I think he lost them already. I don't even know, but I put some in his backpack. Show
So
this
when
to
you say
him.
you put like symbols for someone who's like, what do you mean you put symbols? You're not actually physically putting something. Your intention is like a symbol of like protection to go with him because he's gonna lose the crystals or already has.
I will like literally just either draw in my mind's eye a certain symbol or a sigil. Do you know what a sigil is?
No, tell them what a sigil is.
So a sigil is basically like a type of symbol that you can create. The most common ones are made from words. So say you wanted to take a word, protection. What you would do is you would write down the word protection, and you would only use like so there's two O's, you would only use one O. Okay. You would write the word protection, and then you would somehow combine the letters to create an image. And then
Okay.
you might take that image and you might put it like so that it's a physical written thing. And you might like bless it, you know, with your higher power energy, perhaps with like a just with the intention of protection and clearance, you know, from a harmful energy or from, you know, whatever. And then I would like put it inside his backpack somewhere. So he's physically carrying it.
Okay. And then where does that come from? Is that from, like, where does that derive from? Is it mediumship? Is it like witchcraft? Is it, I've heard of it
Witchcraft.
before, but it is. Okay. Interesting.
And they can be, you know, but yeah, the first time I ever drew a sigil, I didn't even know what I was drawing. Spirit was guiding me to draw it. And so I just kept drawing it over and over and over again. And the wall of the shower, honestly, because it kept being like, okay. And like having spirit move my finger. And I would just keep drawing the same thing over and over. And I used a symbol for probably a year. And then took a workshop with how to make sigils. I was like, oh,
Oh, I've been
that's what
doing
I'm.
that.
Oh, that's what that is. Oh.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Almost everything I do is like dabble first, learn later.
You're like, oh, that's this. Oh, thank you
Yeah.
for explaining what I've been doing for like a year. No, I
Why
totally
me
get
too?
that because I had a lot of those experiences and they were intense. And you're like, oh my God, I'm losing my mind. So if you were to give a parent who like doesn't do this or hasn't like studied it or even dabbled in it like you and I, like regular person, run of the mill, and their kids like, I'm seeing things, I'm feeling things, besides saying, tell me more, I believe you, like listening to them. Do you have any other tips or thoughts on like what they could do to maybe help their child of whatever age? Could be, I mean, elementary all the way up to high school, whatever you feel pulled to talk about.
If your child is in a state of fear, then I definitely think you should probably reach out to someone, to a professional, you know, who can help you with that. Because that's, from my experience, fear is contagious, especially as a parent, because you will then easily be in a state of fear. And then both of you working from fear is not a healthy space to work in. If they are more of like this energy, I feel energy, it's overwhelming, and I just want to learn like how to make it stop. You know what I mean? Like I'm thinking more middle school age right now, just because that's where my kid's at. Any kind of grounding practices. Okay, let me just go back. For people who have never met, like people who are like really, this is brand new. Like they've never even explored this type of stuff. I would just be very mindful of like I was gonna say how you speak to yourself, but also like Because there's this idea of like kind of building strength from the inside out, you know, and sort of like bringing the affirmation of like, I am safe, I am in a safe space, and I'm in a safe environment, things like that. And I'm talking energetically. I'm not talking like a physical bully. I'm talking about just like energetic stuff. Like I don't feel comfortable. I feel like eh. And so I kind of think of it like that, like, all right, how building an inner strength from the inside out, because our mental thought life can create an entity all of its own. And so if we're thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed, I don't know how I can handle this, that's just going to perpetuate that whole cycle. But if you start to think about like, okay, I'm in a safe space, I am okay. And then work from there, and you can build on affirmations to help build up that energy. Another one really good component is just using sound. Like if you have a bell, if you have you see the sound bowls, people have. I'm just gonna grab mine real quick for you guys for just to have like that little like just a bell. That will kind of break up energy that's static in your home, in the body. That's really helpful. Even clapping.
I love that. Very simple, very tangible,
Wicked simple. Yeah.
doable.
You know, so if you are also like a green witch, kitchen witch energy, basic. Witchcraft, market basket witchcraft. Go get you some.
Basket. I love it. Market basket witchcraft. Let's coin this.
Know, like,
Sponsor.
go get some salt, go get some rosemary and some lemon, put it in a bowl, right? And just allow the negative energy or harmful energies, we'll say, that's in and around you to go into the bowl. Leave it out for maybe 3 days and then throw it away. Don't cook with it, just throw it away.
So any people are going to ask, any kind of salt, just salt. Market
I
basket
like
salt.
kosher salt, but like, you
Kosher.
know, I like a kosher salt, like the grainy ones.
Yeah, very simple, very.
Like simple, like very simple.
I love it.
I'm trying to keep it simple because like
No, these are
it's
great. These are great because people, I think
for
everyday
parents too.
people, go ahead.
Yeah, parents too can do this too. Like parents is, you know, moms are so overwhelmed with like every the daily task, the daily grind of just parenting, and then throw on top of that something that your kid's going through that's pulling you in all these different directions. Like the best way for you, or I should just say, the best way that I can handle my kid's disrupted life is to get into a space of calm. It's so easier said than done, I know it, but like I have to let go of the stuff that I can't control. And when it came down to like my kids' teachers that were like so, I was like, you know, of course you allow yourself to get pissed, okay? Yes. I'm gonna have enough feeling about that. Okay. But then like I have to understand, like, okay, there's some things that I can't control, and there's some things also lessons that my child needs to learn about
Yes.
being in difficult situations and having to live life with opposing personalities and conflict so that they can learn how, you know. Bring a healthy resolve to that confrontation. So at the end of the day, I had to really let go and just be like, you know what? Like I can do what I can to help support and always advocate for my child. But at the end of the day, like what he does is also like part of his responsibility and how he takes care of himself. And like when he leaves for school for the day, you know, I'm just kind of like in a space of, you know, let go and like goddess, you know, just he's gonna have whatever day he has, he's gonna come home with emotions. It's if the more I can let go and not personalize whatever emotion he's bringing forward to the house on his way home, the better off I am. Because there's so many times he comes home in like the crankiest mood. I don't know what's going on, and it's none of my business. I'm like, okay, whatever. I gotta go in the other room now. Why don't you have like make a grilled cheese? See you later. You know, because sometimes like, their energy, like it has nothing to do with me, and like I can give him and show him the best possible ways, but like he has to learn how to implement those too. And it's really hard. It's like, you know, kids are gonna be kids, and you know, we'll see what happens in high school.
We'll do a redo then.
Yeah, we
God.
have a reading.
I love that though. There's such tangible, like, yeah, it how you act and how what you bring to it affects them. So get yourself to a good place. I love that.
So
So
like if I feel overwhelmed with energy, and I know you have a really healthy like spiritual hygiene regimen, I'm sure, right?
just think I have super hard boundaries. That's what I think. And I think I kept those in place for this. So I don't get a lot of issues. But I've had to heal that in the human part of me though, because that trip transpired over here. But yeah, it's, but yes, when I feel things, I will do that. I'll do salt baths. I'll do, you know, salt, whatever I need, I'll do. But yes, a lot of intention. I guess mine is more intention based and it's kind of constant. It's like if the intent, I'll like put the sign up, intention's up, like don't come knocking and it's up. It's kind of like that hard. Like it's not allowed and not tolerated. So, but these are awesome tips for people who have like zero experience in this. 'Cause I think when we do, we can go different levels, but for the average person out there who has not dabbled in this or who's dealing with a kid who is having intuitive, you know, hits or experiences and they're overwhelmed, I think this is super helpful, tangible information for them.
And it might not be like they might not have the verbiage to articulate what they're actually feel like seeing. Like a lot of people who are psychic, and especially as kids, what it comes across as is like a lot of anxiety. You know what I mean? Like empath people have a shitload of anxiety, is that they're absorbing and they don't know where it's coming from. So even I think then it becomes a challenge of like, okay, how can we manage my child's need to like ease the anxiety? And you know, there's so many different modalities, which I love, but like for me and like for my child, like the sleep issues were so bad, and that's how it manifested at first, was like, why is his sleep so bad? Oh, because he sees spirit. Like, but and like, and it didn't correlate the two for a long time, right? So it's gonna come up in various ways. And I tried a few different things with sleep. And like honestly, it's not perfect, but the one thing that he works best with is smell. So like any aromatherapy, he likes to smoke the best, like burning sage, Palo Santo. And then I also have like pouches of lavender, things that are like that kind of bring the calm and with the aromatherapy.
I love that. This is amazing. So I like to end it with like two questions, and I always ask people the same too. So what has been like the most significant benefit or reward you've encountered as an intuitive individual? Like, what do you love the most, or what has been like the most rewarding?
Today, I think the most rewarding thing is really understanding who I am as a person. Like being able to get to know myself because of my intuition. I think that's my favorite thing, is sort of like knowing myself so well. It's kind of a weird thing to say, but like, I don't know. It's sort of like I enjoy spending alone time. Like, I need that solitude. And if I didn't like myself, that would not be pleasant,
That wouldn't. And it's funny you say that because I actually feel the exact same way. This has given me the same thing to know myself on a deeper level, to actually know who I am at my core. And it's always still evolving and I'm always finding out more, but it is, I absolutely agree with you. I don't think it sounds weird at all. So I'm right there with you.
Awesome.
And then number two is tell me one fun thing about yourself that we don't know. It can be anything. One fun thing. This is like low key, whatever you want to throw out
My
there.
God. Oh, geez. One
No
fun
pressure, no
thing.
pressure either. I had
Okay.
one person say they had like used to like fly pigeons and race them or something, and I was like, what? Yeah, so you don't have to get that crazy, but like one fun thing we don't know.
Oh my God. Well, I think right now my favorite thing to do is garden. And so I sort of have like this I have a green thumb and I sort of take it to the to like a new level every year. And so this year I decided that I am going to grow cut flowers as like a way to earn a little extra money. So like I have like this whole my whole backyard, there's like an overhaul. I'm expanding my garden and I have like hundreds and hundreds of seeds starting. So if you go down into my sunroom, it's like a crazy like
You have a
seed
greenhouse.
explosion.
Awesome. I love that.
It's my favorite thing ever. And I'm like, oh, let's see who's coming up. Like, and I talk to my plants a lot.
I won't say I don't. I ask mine every day. I'm like, how much water do you need? People be like, you do what? I'd be like, I do. I legit. And I hear like a little bit or no, I'm good. Like, it's so funny what you can do. But no, I think that's awesome and it's beautiful and amazing. And I want to thank you for your time. Again, Monica and I go way back. I love Monica. And if you want to connect with her or find out more about her, check out her reading, see what she offers. You can follow her on Instagram, Monica underscore Chaffee. She has a Facebook page. She does readings at Zuzu's. Where is Zuzu's located?
At the 58 Mills in Peabody.
Okay, you can check her out there, and I'll also post her email. I'll put all this in the show notes. So if you're interested in connecting or learning more with her, reach out. And thank
Awesome.
you so much again for your time, Monica.
Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please leave me a review or rating wherever you're listening to this podcast. If you found this episode helpful, feel free to share with friends. And if you're interested in getting a reading from me, you can book directly on jencostamedium.com. Have an awesome day, and thanks for taking the time to listen.